delivered to you every morning and ready to be devoured on demand. When and where you like, it's the Harry and Dana podcast.
So over the weekend, had a bit of... Well, you were privy to this.
This was a disaster.
So it all ended well, but I feel like I may have taken things on board in a dramatic fashion. But
you're a mess.
I had the house to myself over the weekend, over from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
And you had a friend coming up from Melbourne.
Yeah, and I didn't realise, but at my place, we double booked the spare room because my flatmate's parents were coming to stay, but so was my mate. So my mate had nowhere to stay.
Yeah. So I kindly offered and said, look, your mate can stay at our place. We've got two spare rooms.
Which was really lovely.
And there's no one home. So you're like, great, okay, let's have some drinks and dinner at your house. This is on New Year's Eve.
Yes.
So you and I jump in the car and we drive down to the supermarket and buy some stuff for New Year's Eve, some olives and some drinks and that kind of thing. And then I get back and I'm like, do you know where my keys are? And I'm feeling around my pockets in your car and I'm like, oh, if they've fallen out, somewhere in your car. And I'm like, they're not in your car. And I'm like, oh, my God.
We looked everywhere in the car.
I never do it. I've done it maybe three times in the past. But I'd locked the house and left without my keys. And I was like, that's okay. I know one of the back windows is open.
No, you were not like that's okay at all. You were panic stricken.
Yeah, because your friend was supposed to be coming to stay with me. I'd ruined the entire... If we couldn't get into the house, I'd ruined the entire weekend. Where was your friend going to stay? Going to sleep in his car?
I think it would have been really funny had I just chucked you a tent and a mattress on your front lawn and you both had to sleep in a tent.
So this is where things got... And this is where I don't think I handle things well. And where things got slightly dramatic. But I had thought that one of the back windows was open, so I'd taken off the fly screen.
No, hang on. You clambered over a 2-metre-high fence in your board shorts and T-shirt and got grease all over you.
I got grease all over me, which I still can't get off, by the way. I tried scrubbing it off. It won't come off my legs.
And then you got to the window.
Then I got to the window and I took the fly screen off and the window wasn't open. I thought, and like time was ticking on, your friend was on his way from Melbourne. I was like, how am I going to get into this house? And then I thought, the only way is if I break the window. But I have to get it fixed before my landlady comes home.
On Sunday.
So I called a glazier, like an on-call glazier, and they're like, oh, yeah, we can come and fix it, but it's very expensive. And it's New Year's Eve. They don't want to come out and fix something on New Year's Eve. So it's very, and I was like, tossed it up in my mind. And then you called and I was like, I had like a pebble in my hand and I was about to break the window. And you're like, why don't you just call your landlady? And I was like, the thought didn't even dawn on me. So I called.
You're that terrified of it.
Yeah. And I called and she's like, yeah, there's a spare key. And I was like, oh, thank God. We got in. I got into the house. And that moment, you have no idea what that moment is like. When you're locked out of your home and then you get inside your house, it's like you're a foreigner inside your house for a moment. You're like, oh, everything's here. I have a dishwasher and a fridge and the air conditioning's inside and this is so comfortable and everything's great.
What I don't understand is why didn't you, rather than call a glazier, why didn't you call a locksmith?
Didn't think of that.
Exposed.
In entertainment news, Nicki Minaj's 3-month-old finally makes his social media debut and Larry King is hospitalised. That's on the way, but first, Channel 10 has wasted no time in kicking off the new year, right? F1 of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here hit screens last night with the full cast including, and are you ready? Grant Denyer, The Bachelor's Abby Chatfield, as we predicted. Performers Paulini and Jack Vigen, actor Tony Pearson, ex-AFL player Travis Varco, and comedians Ash Williams and Mel Buttle, as well as radio host turned The Block star Jess Eva. Now, rumour has it, as we thought, Dipper, the Big Dipper ex-AFL player was going to head into the jungle, but that rumour was incorrect. So it's Travis Varco on the AFL front. Mm. And there was also a rumour that Abby and Ash are going to hook up. So I don't know about you if you've seen him. He is built like a brick shit house. Like he is got the jaw of the crimson chin. I don't know if you remember Fairly Odd Parents, the cartoon on Nickelodeon, but he has a jawline that could cut glass. Do I need to continue with these metaphors,
okay,
Harry?
Okay, just let settle down. What's his name? Ash Williams.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got a man bun. No, he's a hipster.
Yeah, but look at the jawline on that man.
No, he's no good.
Also, in the promo, when they were promoting this a couple of months back, they said that there would be a chef in it. And obviously, Pete Evans has got the flick because he keeps saying dumb stuff. But now there's no chef in it, so changing with the times.
Okay, so they promoted that there was going to be a chef, but obviously not. I thought they were going to get Colin Fasnich or something. Is that his name?
That was the rumour that he would be replacing to keep that chef element in it.
Yeah, but obviously...
Now there's no chef, so, you know, Miguel obviously won it last year and he was a hit because he made everybody beautiful food out of the rubbish that they get sent each night. Anyway, moving on to some unfortunate news now. Larry King has been hospitalised with COVID-19. The 87-year-old TV personality has been treated, or is being treated in LA, and unfortunately, due to US hospital protocols, his family is unable to visit, which makes it really hard.
Yeah, I hope he's all right.
But to Nicki Minaj now, she took to Instagram to post three pics of her three-month-old sporting a red Gucci tracksuit, a Versace onesie, and a Fendi outfit, as well as a diamond necklace that says Papa Bear. Now, we don't know his name yet, but there is so much to unpack here. First of all, her three-month-old is living your fashion fantasies, Harry.
I know. The kid's got, like, designer onesies, and he's not even 6 months old yet. Like...
She also posted a caption saying, "Papa Bear, thank you so much for choosing me to be your mama." She called her child Papa Bear.
No, that's got to be a nickname. I don't think that the child's name is actually Papa Bear.
No, I don't think it's a nickname. But still, don't you think that's weird as a nickname?
A little bit, because you think
it's got daddy connotations.
The dad would be Papa Bear. Although she's stupid enough to call a baby that, isn't she?
Well, I know how you feel about baby names.
Oh, I just see celebrities with these baby names. They're dumb. Like, the kid's going to get teased in school. That's all I care about.
Well, no, because he's going to go to school with Apple and ITV.
Yeah, exactly. Time for the best segment of all time ever. Speaking words. Sing along, everyone. With Harry. Sing along, Dana.
No.
With Harry. Speaking words of wisdom. With Harry.
I think one of your news resolutions, first of all, should be to sing in tune.
That's in key.
That is nowhere near.
I like you'd know. Grew up on the Beatles, mate.
Defensive. Just because it's a shit segment.
It's the best segment that we do here on the show of all time. And
you're setting the bar very low.
And if you have just joined us for the very first time, welcome to the best segment of all time ever. It's where I labour over the weekend of some words of affirmation, some advice, some thoughts that will get you thinking, get you out of bed and get you motivated to, in this instance, kickstart your year. As this is the first words of wisdom for the year.
There is a disclaimer involved in this segment. Do not follow any of these words of wisdom because they're not wisdomous.
Work has, good one. Work has bought a gong, very generously bought my a gong for this segment, which I brought in.
Ruined our budget for the rest of the year.
It did ruin the budget, I agree. So let's get kickstarted with your words of wisdom. Don't let anyone else ruin your day. It's your day. Ruin it yourself.
Are you speaking from experience?
Oh, I've ruined my own day all the time. This is a good one if you've just started a New Year's resolution, you're going to the gym, you've got a trainer. When making pizza, only cut it into three slices. That way, when you go to the gym and the trainer asks you what you had for dinner, you can honestly say you only had three slices of pizza. You actually had the whole thing, but just sliced into three.
Is this going hand in hand with your New Year's resolutions?
Maybe.
About trying to get fit?
Yeah, but you're not lying though, are you? You're only having three slices. You're having the whole pizza, but you're only having three slices. So when you say it to the trainer,
worst kind of person.
Next time your computer freezes, try putting it in the microwave.
Get out. New year, new you. How ready are you for this year to kickstart it, to be ready and healthy and fit? Because last week you said this, Harry.
Quit smoking, which I've already prepared for. I bought the patches. I'm going to go dry for 6 months. For half the year, I'm not going to have a drink.
6 months?
And then finally get fit.
Okay.
That's what you said, and they were your New Year's resolutions now. They were out there. I warned you before you did it. I said, as soon as you put them out there, the whole of the Hunter Valley now know about them.
Yeah, well, hearing them back, like, they were pretty...
definitive. Very decided. You're really confident, and I have a tremendous amount of faith in you. This is some really positive...
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. I hope that you see these through, because how much healthier would your lifestyle be?
Yeah, it would be a lot healthier. So
to be fair, it's a selfish motive behind this. I am so terrified you're going to get dropped dead at any second because of your bad lifestyle choices, and then I'll have to do the radio show by myself.
People would love that. They'd love the Dana Show.
No.
Look, do you want the update so far?
How's it going?
So I'm going to be brutally honest with you now, but I don't want your judgment, okay? I'm just going
to
be honest.
I'm not here to judge. All right. I'm just here to give a voice for the people, you know?
So it was supposed to start on New Year's Day, which was Friday, I believe.
Well, that's when New Year's resolutions start.
Correct.
Yes.
Now, I kind of thought, I'm at home, I'm off, we had Friday off work, and we had the weekend off, and I was like, it'd be nice to just have a couple of drinks and a couple of darts and just chill out and eat some bad food.
You?
No, because I'm not finished yet.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because I just said to myself, I'll just push it back to Monday. So it all kicks off on Monday.
But how can you justify that? If New Year's started, your definitive date was New Year, New Me, that's when it's going to start, your New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
And so they start on the 1st. You can't just push them back to the next most convenient date.
Look, I don't know.
Now, like, what happens now?
I don't know why you're getting
worked. Just do it next Monday.
No. I don't know why you're getting worked up over it. It's already happened, okay? It's in the past.
Okay, this weekend, now what?
It was a bit of a boozy weekend. Had a couple of darts, couple of packets. It's fine, okay? It's in the past now. It's behind us, Dana. The New Year's resolutions now start today on Monday, and I've been very good so far. I had a healthy breakfast. I'm wearing my nicotine patch, and I've made a salad for lunch. Thank you very much.
Have you actually made a salad for lunch?
I did make a salad for lunch, yes. It took me like an hour to make it yesterday. It sounded like a lot. So check in again in a week and you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Well, I better be.
This is where we bring you the biggest three stories you need to know. Usually it's with our journalist Jessica Rouse, but she's on holidays at the moment.
Wouldn't it be nice? She's back this week though.
Be good. We miss her. New South Wales Chief Health Officer Dr. Kerry Chant has admitted tens of thousands of Sydneysiders, all secondary contacts of the latest outbreak, which happened at the BWS store at Baralla, have been asked to isolate. I'd just be avoiding Sydney right now, honestly.
Yeah, completely.
Like, there are now 13 cases linked to the Baralla cluster, with thousands of BWS customers urged to get tested and isolate until they receive a negative test result. So this happened on... BWS Baralla served more than 1,000 customers on Christmas Eve alone, with potential exposure spreading from December 22nd to December 31st. So it's a big exposure period.
Yes, and the fact that it was New Year over that period as well, meaning lots of people would have been visiting. So
yeah, picking up booze for New Year's Eve and all that kind of thing. So that's what's going on at the moment. That's the latest outbreak and the latest cluster in Sydney.
But honestly, the biggest favour that you can do everybody if you've been to that region is self-isolate and get tested. This is another story coming out of Sydney to do with COVID-19. Face masks have been made mandatory for some indoor settings in Greater Sydney, including the Blue Mountains and the Wollongong area as of midnight this Saturday just gone. Now, after the 7 cases of community transmission on Saturday and 8 on Sunday, Premier Gladys Berejiklian said it's time that we need to introduce this mandate. Face coverings need to be worn while shopping, on public transport, in cinemas and theatres, places of worship and at hair and beauty premises. And to be honest, it's the easiest thing you can do.
Well, you get a $200 fine if you don't.
Yeah, and honestly, it's not that big a deal. Like, it's not like you have to wear them while you're out walking or anything. Like, Victoria had to for a long time, so it's pretty good. And if everybody complies, hopefully we can get this under control. But I would be saying avoid Sydney.
Yeah, totally. Very happy here in the Hunter Valley. University has released the year's 2020's banned words. So our phrases that have crept into our culture. They're at Lake Superior State University in Michigan. They've released their annual list of terms that are to be banned from the English lexicon.
Why?
Because people are sick of them.
Okay.
They don't like them. So do you want to know the top three?
I would love to.
Social distancing was number three. That's been banned.
Hasn't that just been added to like the Oxford Dictionary?
It's been added. Yeah, but everyone's sick of it. No one wants to social distance anymore. Number two was COVID-19 or coronavirus or Rona. That's been banned.
The Rona.
That was number two. And the number three was we're all in this together.
Oh, that's a buzz phrase that needs to buzz off.
Yeah, agreed. I'm a little bit nervous about something, Dana.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys here at work, really nice guy who we love, his name's Pete, really good bloke. He's going away on holiday soon with his family.
Good on him. Get away. Yeah. It's been a tough year last year, so he deserves a break.
He's asked, well, this was the funny part. He asked a lot of people in the office to house sit for him.
I think I was at the top of the list. I don't mean to rub it in or anything.
No, it's okay. Because he asked me and I said, you sure you want to ask me to do this? And he goes, oh, I've already asked everyone else and they're busy.
Well, they he has a dog and I have a budgie and I just don't think that they'd get along. So I thought maybe it's better if you do it.
Which I'm happy to do. I'm just a little bit nervous about it because I realise that I am not the most responsible person. And I'm...
Hang on. At what point in your life, in your 34 years, did you come to this realisation?
Well, very recently.
What are we talking, like last week?
Oh, no. Well, for instance, here's the most recent example. My landlady was away over the weekend. She came back and she went through a list of things that I'd done wrong in the house.
Yeah, but she has a very, very stringent protocols.
Yeah,
she doesn't run a household like your average family runs a household. No, she runs a very tight ship.
I know that, but I just did a few things wrong. Like I hung up the sheets on the wrong line and then the line started sagging.
Who has two lines? One for clothes and one for sheets.
And then I put wooden chopping boards in the dishwasher and apparently they swell up. You're not supposed to do that. And I was like, I walked around for an hour going, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
Groveling so that you can stay in a house that you pay for.
Well, I'm concerned that I'm going to make similar mistakes. Minding poor old Pete's house from work here.
What are you worried about?
I'm just worried that, like, the dog's going to get out or I'm going to break something or I'm going to put, like, knives in a dishwasher. I shouldn't be putting knives in a dishwasher.
Yeah, but he knows what you're like, so...
He
knows what he's getting himself into.
You're saying he's calculated the risk.
I think he doesn't have any other options and this is the risk that he's going to have to take.
Have you house-sitted before?
Yes, I had a horrendous experience.
Oh, wow, well, this doesn't help me. Okay, what happened?
I was house-sitting a dog and a cat for a family friend and it was, first of all, it was like an extra 50 minutes for me to drive to work, so it was very inconvenient. And then it was this giant German shepherd, so I tried to take it for a walk and then I couldn't take it for a walk because it was too strong. So it was walking me and I was literally falling over as it was dragging me down the street. And then I got one block around and I decided this is too much and too overwhelming and I'm about to cry. So I palmed off the dog walking. I asked if the neighbour could take it for a walk because I wasn't strong enough. And then the cat got out and I couldn't find the cat for a few days. Came home, but I think it was very hungry when it came home. It was just a disaster. I don't think I'm very good at house-sitting animals.
Well, I don't really want to do this because I'd rather hear positive stories. But
there's got to be some horror stories out there, though.
Have you house-sitted before and what happened? What's your house-sitting horror story? Did you find something in the house that you shouldn't have? Did you break something? 654-11981 is our number. As I said, I'd rather positive stories because I'm a little bit nervous going into this, but I feel like maybe if you could tell me all the things that you did wrong, then I'll avoid doing that.
A learning curve.
Correct.
I love it. 654-11981. What's your house sitting horror story?
We'll take your calls next. Pete from our office here, really nice guy. He's gone away
Why do you keep saying that? Are you trying to suck up to him?
No, I just because he's a nice bloke.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's just a good guy, that's all. He's going away with his family soon on holidays, and he's very kindly asked that I house sit for him.
Yeah, which would be great at. You get your own space, you love dogs, he's got a dog.
Mm. It's just that a lot of things can go wrong, which we've learned.
If you keep you, the plants, and the dog alive, that's a success.
I'll do my best.
Well, you can't do your best. You can't come home to a dead dog.
The dog will be alive. Don't worry. The dog is going to be alive. Pete, if you're listening, don't worry. You have nothing to worry about.
This is why you are sucking up to him.
But we thought on 654-11981, when has it gone wrong for you? What's your house-sitting horror story?
We put it up on 98.1 Power FM on Facebook. Sue said that we house-sat our daughter's cat and it kept regurgitating horrific fur balls.
Oh.
That's not... And they smell. And then she said, oh, we're mining him again soon. Woo.
Oh, okay. Good luck with that. We've got a lot of calls coming through on 654-11981 this morning.
Let's go to Musselbrook. Hey, Maddie.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Really good. What's your house-sitting horror story?
Now, it didn't happen to me. It happened to my sister's best friend. She was house-sitting for, like, this really posh couple, and they had a cat, and it was, like, their child, and she lost the cat. It ran away.
Permanently? Did she get it back?
It's never been found.
Oh, my God!
Harry, don't do that!
Because I've got a house sit for a mate of mine here at work, and they've got a dog, and this is, like, my worst nightmare. I can't believe this actually happened.
The dog.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Thanks for the call.
No worries.
Let's go to Cessnock where Andy is. What's your house-sitting horror story, Andy?
So while I was like the year out of school, I used to do a bit of house-sitting because I still lived at home. It was nice just to get out every now and then. And we've got these friends who asked me to house-sit their place for a week and a half.
Yeah.
And it was like so full of cockroaches like I've never seen before. And like they weren't a really like dirty family or anything like they were friends of ours and really clean, but their house was just infested. I'm killing four or five cockroaches every day.
That's Yuck. My biggest fear as well, if somebody thinks that they live in a all right environment, but for me it's like too dirty.
Like someone else comes in and they discover.
Like maybe that they're like a clutter person and I'm not a clutter person, so house sitting that house would be a nightmare.
Well, my worst fear, Andy, is cockroaches in the shower. Did that happen?
No, not in the shower, but it got to the point where I was only about 2 or 3 days in and I was lying in bed at night and I could hear them in the walls. I could hear them under the bed that I was sleeping in, scuttling along the carpet. And I ended up just... They had a dog, that's why I had to house sit. So I just ended up going back home to my parents' place and then just going over and feeding the dog every day. I couldn't stay there.
You just aborted. Abort mission, yeah.
Something very, very strange happened over the weekend. I had a friend visiting and I thought we'd go down to Pocolbin and
Lovely.
We stopped in a couple of wineries and one of them was a beautiful little boutique winery called Gundog Estate. And you can do, like, some wine tasting there. So we thought we'd do that. So we rock up and we scan in with the QR code and we get shown to a table by one of the ladies who worked there, Kim. And it was a bizarre feeling when we arrived because she didn't look too happy to see us. It wasn't super busy, so it's not like they were understaffed or anything, but we kind of sat down and were a bit apprehensive. And you know that warm, fuzzy feeling that you get when you sit in a cafe and the host or the
waiters and waitresses.
Yeah, they're really warm and they were happy to have a chat. We didn't get any of that. It was a little bit cold at the beginning. We're like, all right, maybe they're just stressed, busy. That's fine. So we sit down and she brings out some whites and we start talking about them. And I'm a red drinker usually and because it's warmer up here, I've started drinking more whites and I really don't know a lot about white wine yet. And so she poured one of them for us. It was like a Sauv Blanc Semillon and I thought it was quite sweet. And I said to her, look, that's too sweet for me. And she just turns around and she goes, Well, it's not.
Just completely denies you. Well, it's not.
Yeah, and then I have this complex of like, I have to make people feel comfortable because if, you know, I like people to feel comfortable around me. So I was like, well, I'm new to white wine, so like you have to teach me. Like, I'm sure you're right. Like, so tell me about it. And she's like, well, it's very dry. And I was like, it was the opposite of sweet in wine world. So I was like, well, okay, well, should we go to the next one or like move on from this situation? And it became like and she'd go away to the bar and come back to our table with the next bottle. And it became like this game with me and my mate Sam. And we had to sort of try to make her feel as comfortable as possible.
Oh, so the roles had been reversed.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was like we were playing the role of the waiter or the waitress and like try to make her feel comfortable in her own space in this winery. And by the end of it, we'd got to like the muskets and the reds. And by that time, we knew she's originally from Sydney. She loved horse riding and she just opened up. But it was bizarre because every time I'd like give, you know, those wanky tasting notes being like, oh, it's very heavy or it rounded in the back. And then she'd say something like, it's the flavours of the apple or whatever. And I'd try and do one and she just shut me down. She's like, it's not that. You can actually taste some elderflower.
Oh, is that what it was?
I'm sorry, Kim. Yeah. I'm learning.
Yeah. What day did you go to Pecolbin again?
Would have been Saturday.
She was definitely still hungover. Yeah, you're definitely still hungover. That's why.
Over the weekend, I told you earlier that I went down to Pecolbin to visit a couple of wineries with my friend Sam. And we went to a beautiful venue for lunch, which we booked. It's called the Blaxland Inn. And I don't know if you've been there, but they did like smoked ribs and the food was phenomenal. But something happened that deeply displeased me. I saw something in there, like everything was perfect except for this one thing. The service was incredible. The food was amazing. The pairings with the wine were wanky, which makes me so happy. But I look over Sam's shoulder and directly in front of me was a Santa hat perched on the side of a display cabinet. And I thought, well, that's a shame.
Oh,
isn't
Dana.
That a shame?
Dana.
We've moved on from Christmas. No. Put the decorations away.
This is your argument?
Yes. We've moved on.
But don't you, like, isn't there still the festive cheer around this time of year?
There's the holiday cheer, but not the Christmas cheer.
There's holiday cheer and part of that is Christmas. Like,
yeah, but Christmas has ended.
I know, but a lot
on the 26th, decorations come down.
On the 26th? What's the matter? I drove past on the way to work this morning. I live in South Muswellbrook. I drove past and I saw Christmas lights on someone's garden. And I thought, isn't that nice? Isn't that still festive? It puts me in a good mood. I like to see it. I think they should come down, I don't know, mid-January.
Mid-January?
Yeah, when you go back to work, when everyone starts going back to work, starts like could even be next week, week after, something like that. Then you kind of go, okay, get on the ladder, pull down the Christmas decorations, pull out the boxes, pack up the Christmas tree again, put away all the little paraphernalia.
Are you done?
I'm done.
I'm on the side. Well, Coles is with me here. They brought out the hot cross buns last week, as it should be. We've moved on. Let's look forward. Let's not look into the past. Let's move forward in 2021.
No, see, for me, that's too early for Easter.
No.
Early for Easter.
Christmas decorations away on the 26th. The only exception is if you're having a family Christmas after Christmas, in which case, if it's on the 28th, you may take them down on the 29th. And then we move on and we just push forward into Easter.
You and I are going to continue to argue about this, so let's have the people of the Hunter Valley settle it, please.
Okay.
654-11981, when should you take your Christmas decorations down?
I think the majority of the Hunter Valley will say after Christmas, straight after Christmas.
No, I think you'll be surprised because I've still seen a lot up. I think you'll be surprised. We'll just wait and see,
okay,
shall we? 654-11981, when should you take your Christmas decorations down? We'll take your calls next. We thought we'd ask you this morning, when should you take your Christmas decorations down after Dana got, infuriated after she went out
for
lunch?
Excuse me, stop narrating my life. I can tell it. On the weekend, I went out to the Blaxland Inn down in Pecolbin and they had on the side of one of the cabinets, the display cabinets, they had a Santa hat. And this is over the weekend. It's past New Year. We've moved on. I'm on the side of Coles and Woolworths, who have already put out hot cross buns. We are moving forward into 2021. Why aren't the Christmas decorations down yet?
Whereas I have the opposite point of view, whereas I like a little bit of the festivity sticking around for a little while just to make us feel happier around this time of year, because all the fun is kind of over. We've had New Year's, we've had Christmas. It's nice. I drove past someone who had all their Christmas lights on in their garden today, and I thought, isn't that pleasant? As I drove past.
Why would you want a bigger electricity bill than you're already going to have if you have Christmas lights up?
That's a different argument. We asked you on our socials, when should you take your Christmas decorations down? Is it straight after Christmas or after January 1st is fine? 34% of you said straight after Christmas and 66% said after the 1st. Everyone's on Harry's side.
Well, I'm sure they didn't know. Had they known you were on that side, I'm sure they would have voted differently.
It's the Harry and Dana podcast. Stay up to date on everything Hunter Valley on our socials at 98.1 Power FM or at 98.1powerfm.com.au.